Again, read in Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 30, through the remainder of that chapter. Matthew 6:30 says, "Wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is and cast into the oven, shall not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day of It says, of the day is the evil thereof." Luke chapter number 12. Read a verse of Scripture. Luke chapter number 12, verse number 15. Luke 12:15 says, "He said unto them, take heed, beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." Turn with me a little further in the Scriptures. Philippians. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians 4, verse number 11 says, "Begin reading, and not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." Notice what he said in verse number 11. Middle part of the verse is, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." There's some things we must learn. We don't come here with contentment in us. We come here with the old part of the nature, covetousness, in us. That's why I said beware of that. But we need to be content. Thank God we can, by the grace of God. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Begin reading at verse number 6. "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we carry nothing, can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." I didn't say that, God did. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Fall after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness, and fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, wherein thou art also called and professed a good profession before many witnesses." But Paul said, "But godliness with contentment's great gain." He said, "We got raiment and cut food and raiment." He said, "There, be content." He said, "You bring nothing to this world." You ever see anybody come in here with anything? All come in here with nothing, didn't they? You ever see anybody carry anything with them? All leave without nothing. Turn with me now for our final text this morning, Hebrews chapter number 13. I just want to read two verses here. Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I want to try to share with you just particularly from this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to try to preach all those other Scriptures. Maybe be referring to them, but I'm simply this. A few of these words, one of them is conversation. Next one in verse number 5 is covetousness. Next one is content. Then I don't find this word, but it tells us this. We can have confidence. You know why we can be content? I'm going to say this before we pray. You know why we can be content in this hour? He said, I won't never leave you. I won't never forsake you. And we can boldly say that. Thank God for it. Would you go with us, the Lord, in prayer? Father, we're grateful. Another opportunity you've given us to break forth a bread of life. We ask your blessings upon your word this morning. Father, you know every need in every heart, in every life. Speak to us and speak through us. You know how much we need you. Without you, we could do nothing. But as Paul said with Christ, we can do all things. You are our strength, you are our source, you are our help and our healer today. Bless this scripture to our hearts this morning. Let us see that you'd have us to see. Let us break forth that you need, know we need this morning. And God, I pray you'd help us. Because you said, Lord, use our helper in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Notice something he said in verse number 5. For he hath said. Boy, you could chew on that a long time, couldn't you? For he hath said. That's all God got to do, speak. And he has spoken to us. He's spoken to us through his Son. Spoken to us through his Word. And he's speaking to us this morning. God still speaks. Somebody said, oh, God don't talk to nobody today. He sure does. He talks to you. I was sitting there yesterday. Had to fix an electrical cord. Plug. I was sitting there. I was sitting down on a milk case. You don't squat too much, you know, when you be there a long time. But I was sitting there. I felt the strangest presence and power of God. I was working on that plug. I was looking around and see somebody come up. They wasn't nobody else. It was God. Heard the train going through town. Heard some other sounds. But thank God for him. I tell you, he's nothing like him. He said what God said. Lord, you said. You said it. So he said, let your conversation be without covetousness. What is conversation? It's more than just what we speak. It includes our words, but also includes our way of life, our manner, our thoughts, our intents, our desires. And I can go on and on and on. That's what our conversation is. It's our way of life. And he said, let it be without covetousness. And in this passage of Scripture, there's some things that we need to shun. And one of them is covetousness. He said, be without it. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Don't have covetousness. You can look through the Scripture and you'll find where some people that were covetous, what happened to them? One of them that come to my mind was simply old Achan. Did you know that? You know what he was in? He was there and that God told him that the city was destroyed. Said, don't take nothing. Don't have anything to do with their garments or their gold or silver, anything else. But you know what Achan did? He got greedy. And that, the matter of fact, when Joshua was pinning them down, you know how Joshua knew something was wrong? God did not go with them to battle. God wasn't blessing them. You know what he said to him? He said, hey, something's gone wrong. Somebody's transgressing against the Lord. Somebody's taking something they shouldn't have taken. You know what it was? He called them before him. Listen, leader after leader. Listen, different families after families. And he said to him, who is the guilty one? Confess it. Achan, you know what Achan confessed to Joshua? He said, yes, it's me. I sinned against the Lord. He said, I saw those Babylonish garments. He saw the silver. And he saw the gold. And you know what he said to him? You know what he told Joshua? He said, I coveted after it. That's exactly what he said. And I took it. He coveted after it. No wonder God said we should be without covetousness. It happens to somebody else that you... Listen, we should never, listen, be coveted after anything else that somebody else is. He coveted after he disobeyed the commandment of God. And God was displeased with it. You know, I read that verse of Scripture a while ago. It said, you bring many sorrows upon us by many things we do. We can. You want to have happened to Achan? What happened to his family? What happened to his all the possessions that he had? They brought him out before the camp. They stoned him. And they burned him. Whew. Covetousness is a serious thing. What is it? I read one place where he puts it in with idolatry. And all the rest of the things is wrong. But he said, covetousness. What happened to Achan? But see, God directly commanded him not to do it. And so this passage of Scripture said, let our conversation be without covetousness. Let it be without it. The desire. He lusted out of that. He desired that. And it got him in trouble. I mean, big trouble. So that's why we need to be without it. You know what? We ought to be not covetous. I could go on and say a lot more, but one other one I might want to mention is Ahab. Not only Achan, but Ahab. King Ahab. Look what all he had. Yet there was one little vineyard that laid beside his that he wanted. Right? He wanted it. You think he had plenty. But he asked Naboth, now who owned it, said, he asked to buy it from him. He didn't try to take it away from him. Start with. He said, I'll buy it from you. I'll trade you some other for it. You know what Naboth said? No. It's my inheritance. It'd be pretty hard for you to get some my inheritance away from me, wouldn't you? Some people just think nothing of it. But you don't realize something that you inherited from your parents or your grandparents, what they went through with to get it. That's something that you own. You know how much my mom and daddy's payment was on 40 acres there where it's still a home place there? You know how much it was a year? $30 a year. You said, oh, I could have bought all kind of land there. You couldn't then. Not if you're working for a dollar a day. I remember my oldest brother telling me one time that he can never hear mom and daddy talking about when it coming close time for it. Where he's going to get the money. Folks, inheritance is a very important thing. And so Naboth said, hey, I'm not going to sell it. I'm not going to give it to you. I'm not going to swap it. No. So he goes back. Listen, the king goes back. And he's just all sorts, out of sorts, don't know what to do. And he's sad. And his wife, he married an old wife. You know what her name was? Jezebel. And Jezebel said, can you mean you the king? You aren't going to let him do you that way. So she plotted a plan. And her plot and the plan was simply this. Get him in here. Get I'll get somebody. She can sign some letters and sign the king name to it. And got some false witnesses against him. Got him put to death. Well, somebody said she got by with it. She did. No, she didn't. She didn't get by with it. You know, all the upstairs we have it now, was it Chick-fil-A deal? You heard about that? Well, you know what? I agree with a gentleman 100%. We inviting the judgment of God on our land. You can't change the laws of God. I saw in the paper where there's some I guess business owner donating $2.5 million to try to keep them things, keep that same-sex marriage legal. You can't change God's laws. It's like it is. It's like he said. In that verse it says, for he hath said. And when God has said, man can't change God's laws. It's not right. Never will be all right. And it invites the judgment of God. This country, if we don't have a revival and turn back to God, listen, I'm talking about in our laws, in our constitution, everything else, we don't turn back to God, we gone. Judgment of God's on us. It's coming. It's already here. We don't have sense enough to see it. We had it. I'm telling you, it won't be many long, many months or years. Our corn supply and our food supply be gone. We've displeased an holy God. If God would have Joshua and do what they did over what Achan did, can you imagine what's going to happen to a nation that's supposed to be one nation under God and just poking our fists and hands and eyes of a holy God? Sad folks. If you ever prayed, you better let's pray now. Better let's pray hard. Pray and seek the Lord. Pray. But we must pray. So he said, without covetousness, and he said, be content with such things as ye have. So not to get off on the covenant part and disobeying God part, but we to be content. Well, if we're not content with it, actually, we sort of, I don't know if we ain't disobeying the Lord a little there. Huh? God said we could be content. That's an inward satisfaction. Get a hold of this. Contentment is an inward satisfaction that's not changed by the outward circumstances. Somebody said, if I had just a little bit more, I'd be content. If I just had enough to pay my bills, I'd be content. If I had this or had that, I'd be content. But he said, we'll be content with such things as you are. The first thing we be content with is who you are. You've got to get that settled. You who you are, you who God made you. I can't be somebody else, neither can you. Be me, I can't be you. We can be nobody else. We got to be content with ourselves. Who God has made us. I'll be content whatever color my hair is or whether it ended up there or not. That may see a come on, what you call it, funny, but it's still so. Be content. That's who you are. You should never say, Lord, I wish you'd have made me somebody. I believe some people wish you that. I don't know why. Are you who God made you? Be content. Amen. He wants you somewhere else. You'd have been born somewhere else. He wants you to be somewhere else. You'd have been born somebody else. God has a special place for you. Be content to be you. For he said, but such things as you have. God so clothed the birds and fowl and feeds them, how much more does he care for you? I was telling someone yesterday, Carrie going off with one of six girls, and had two of the granddaughters with them. They was going off, and they do that about once a year or somewhere around our birthday, and that's good. And you know what they said? And they weren't being envious or wrong. This lady said, you know, I wish I had a big family like that. But God's placed you where you are, position you are. You got the job you got. I personally believe that God arranges our lives. Matter of fact, the Bible gets more specific than that. He arranges our daily lives. You ever pondered, had some on your heart? Well, there they are. Walk up on them. They walk up on you. God arranges it. Be content. Satisfaction, inner satisfaction with such things. You say, well, there's some things hard to be content with. But you know what the Bible says? We know that all things work together for good and love God and are called according to His purpose. We ought to be content with our families, content with our husbands, and content with our wives. We ought to be content and satisfied because the things that God is blessed us with, He's blessed us abundantly, marvelously and wonderfully. What a blessing. You know how you ought to be? You know, we'd be able to be so content that you wouldn't want to swap places with nobody. Amen. Right? Well, I started saying I take my chances with me and taking no chance. I just stay and be me. Because I got to be somebody else that might be worse than. But I know I want to be who God wants me to be. And if it's in the will of God, how wonderful it is. Hallelujah. And so the Lord has said, so we need to stay away and get away from covetousness, but we need to be content. You know why we can be content? He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that word never means never. Never leave me. So we can have confidence, can't we? You know, we need to walk by faith and have confidence that we're serving a God that said He'd never leave us or forsake us. It's in that song I think Bob was singing. I'm young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. You, God's child, He's made you. He knew you when you were still in your mother's womb. He called old Jeremiah in his mother's womb. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, some of you preachers happened. Didn't John the Baptist leap in his womb when he heard him out? When Elizabeth talking to Mary about the Lord? Leaped in the womb. That's another thing judgment of God's on America for. Killing unborn babies. You know, man thinks he's so smart he can change God's laws. And God's going to go along with it. He's not going to do it. Never. So we can have confidence. Not only can we be content, but we can be confident. How come? We know the Lord would never leave us or forsake us. You may be forsaken, the Bible even said, even if your parents or your closest one to you turns their back on you, the Lord will pick you up and carry you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. And he said it. Thank God he said it. Hallelujah. He said, I'll be with you. I'll never leave his sake. I looked at some Old Testaments, different ones. You know, one of them was. Listen, he told Joshua that. He told Moses that. Listen, thank God he told some other ones that. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you. He'll do the same for you. He'll do the same for me. Yes, he will. So that all of them can be content. You said, I so love to be content where I'm working. He can be. Just fall in love with work. Fall in love with it. You're going to have to work. The Bible says we don't work some infidels. We don't work and provide for our own. But what I'm saying is just be content. Be content. But then we can have confidence. Why? He'll never leave us. And he'll never forsake us. Look, I like verse number 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. We can come boldly to the throne room of grace and we can obtain mercy and grace to help us in a time of need. You don't have to worry about whispering the fact, but you can say it boldly. I know the Lord won't never leave me. I know you'll never forsake me. I know He'll be my helper. He's my helper. Boy, that'll give you some strength. That'll give you some confidence. Oh, you said, He don't ever help me. We ever ask Him? I don't know about you, but I have to ask Him all along, Lord. My help, I need some help. Best help you ever get is the Lord's help. We can boldly say, the Lord's my helper. You don't have to be timid about it. You don't have to be shy about it. You don't have to be bashful. Whispered. You can shout aloud, glory to God, the Lord's my helper. Somebody said, how you do it? The Lord's my helper. Get a lot more than none, he's helping you.
Yes, sir.
I never did become a carpenter because my daddy was number one class A, good one, best. But I did help him a little. But you know what? What God does for us, he's our helper. You know what a carpenter's helper does? He keeps him getting down off a ladder a lot of times. Holds stuff for him. On and on and on. Going, what a helper can do. Run errands for you. Well, my God's a helping me. Amen. He can run errands for you. He can save you some steps. Oh, glory to God. He can help you in all kinds of ways. He can help you in your job. He can help you in your studies. He sure can. Hey, some of you sitting right out there. He hadn't helped me. Well, I never even probably got through school, but he did. Some of you, he's helped you. Ways is past even explaining. He's helped some of you in your jobs. He's opened up doors for you. All of us. He's helped you in your business. I've seen things happen I can't even explain. I know it's Him. You know one thing about God? You don't have to know everything. You don't have to explain everything. Thank God you just have to accept it and believe it. Hey, why don't you just boldly out loud sometimes say, I know the Lord's my helper. Amen. Yes, he is. Then he goes on down and said, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. If you fear the Lord, boldly can say he's your helper. You don't have to worry what fear what man's going to do to you. Some people live in the fear of what somebody's going to say, what somebody's going to do, afraid somebody's going to maybe hurt their feelings or whatever. I'm going to tell you something, though. If you just fear the Lord and you can boldly say he is your helper, then you don't have to fear what man shall do unto me. Ask your question, is he your helper this morning? Amen. Now ask another question, are you content? Amen. Happy, joyful. It shows one of them chapters I read a while ago, I didn't even read it. It said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say unto you what? Rejoice! One of them said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. If he's your helper, you can. Another verse of Scripture says, I'm more than conquerors through him that loved me. He's your helper, you're more than a conqueror. It's time we get up. Say, my Lord's my helper. I'm going to walk with him. I'm going to commune with him. I'm going to be victorious. Amen. Yeah. I'm going to be more than a conqueror. I'm going to do all things through Christ who's strengthening me. If God's a helping you, he's a strengthening you. Mm-hmm. He sure is. And some of you, just like me, that's the only way you can explain it. Is God. Is God. For he hath said. If you don't remember anything else, just remember what he said. And I can stand up here the rest of the day and tell you some things that he said. But what he said, he says, he means it, to settle forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God said it. Somebody said, had the old saying and said, you know, God said it. I believe it and that settles it. Well, God said it, it's settled. Whether you believe it or whether I believe it or not, it's still settled. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Hallelujah. Let's be content. Amen. If you've been wishing you were somebody else, I don't think you have, but if anybody ever wishing they were somebody, just thank God you who you are. Amen. You said, yeah, but look what kind of job they got. Thank God for one you got. Amen. You might not all the rest of it either. But thank God for what he's doing for you. Be who you are. You've got a special place. God's got a special place for you. Be who you are. Live for God. Fear God. And then you won't have to worry what man shall do unto you. You're living for God. God's property, God's son, God's child. Serve him. Live for him. Let's shun covetousness. Let's ask God to give us contentment. I want to say this about full close. The Apostle Paul, I read another scripture. He said, I have learned in whatever state I am to be there content. You know what? To be as content as Paul was, and he was, but he said he learned it. He went through some schools. And you know what? We might even be willing to. He was in a dark dungeon when he said that. Oh, his prisons weren't the prison that Paul was in. Well, not the prisons we go into. We go down there on Tuesday night and we in air condition. That's right. Where we got to have the service. It's in air condition. Where Paul was, it wasn't no air condition. It wasn't nothing like prison now. But he was content. He knew one thing. Wherever he was, whatever he was facing, whatever he was going through with, he'd learn to be content. You know what? You don't have to learn how to grumble, complain, and do we? We come here that way. That's part of the old nature. But thank God for the new nature. Paul learned some things. And he learned to be content. You know what my prayer is? God, help us to learn also how to be content. I thank God for the grace of God. I'm just going to testify a little bit now. I thank God for God's grace. If I listen to the devil sometime when so many things go backward and wrong and on, I could tell you a lot of things. But you know what I've learned and still learning? I'm just still learning. Be content. Just be satisfied. You may think, well, I got the day made now. It's gone. Everything's all right. You'll be responsible sometime for about 14 compressors running. Sometime 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. But you know what I found out? Okay, it's all right. No need to pitch a fit, are they? Is that going to change anything? No need to get upset. Is that going to change anything? Make it worse. But we have learned these things. And a lot of times, you know how we learn a lot of things? By experience. But we can boldly say, the Lord's my shepherd. You know what I found out? That is so true. But you know what? To have a contentment Paul had, you'd almost say, Paul, I won't go to prison with you. Paul, let me go where you are. I need contentment. But I'm going to tell you something. Tribulation working what? Patience. Patience working what? Experience. And experience hope. Listen, thank God. So we do learn some things. Did you know one thing about this Christian walk and Christian life? You never quit learning. I don't know a lot of words in the English language, but you know what? I heard somebody say a word the other day. I've never heard it. Not as I remember. But a lot of them I probably hadn't heard. But you know what? We're still learning. You know what I'm still doing in the Christian walk? Still learning. I don't care how many Bibles you've gone through in the last 40 years. I'm still finding stuff I didn't know was in here. Still learning. I'm glad we can. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? God spoke to your heart this morning. While I come lead us in the song. We can boldly say, the Lord's my helper. He has said, God's spoken. Has He spoken to you this morning? Why don't you yield to Him and say, Lord, I want to learn to be content in whatever state I'm in, whatever circumstance, whatever situation I'm in. I want to be content, satisfied, joyful, happy in the Lord.